Hi, and welcome back to the Holistic Women's Health Podcast. On today's episode, we are talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, something that I've suffered with for over a decade, many years since I had, or since I guess before I had my emergency surgery due to a ruptured cyst. That cyst in particular was twisted and causing me tons of painful periods, and then eventually it ruptured, causing me to have emergency surgery at the age of 13. And we will talk a little bit about cysts in this episode, along with some other reasons why you're having painful periods. But if you are listening to this because you personally struggle with cramps, I totally feel for you. I know how hard it can be. But making changes in your nutrition, your lifestyle, and taking the right supplements can definitely help. There are tons of things that you can do to help with cramps so that you're no longer having painful periods. You're no longer getting cramps every month. Cramps affect around 80% of women, which is a huge percentage, and everything is on a scale. So some women experience the very dull pain, it's very light of cramps, or some women can experience more on the other end, extreme painful periods, nausea, vomiting, crying in the fetal position. So there is a variable scale. And what a cramp actually is it's your uterus contracting. So contracting, think of squeezing, like if you were to make a fist with your hand and you're squeezing. So that's what's happening during these cramps. That is normal. That light twinge, that is how we shed for our period and get that bleed. A slight little twinge, totally normal. But anything beyond that is not normal. And I want to make that very clear. Anything, like I mentioned, if you're throwing up, if you're crying, if you're in the fetal position, if you can't move, if you're taking trips to the ER, that is not normal. That should not be happening. So no crying, no throwing up when you can't leave the house, you're glued to your heating pad, you're taking painkillers timed every hour or a couple hours. That is not normal. That should not be happening. So there are two types of menstrual cramps. So when we look at menstrual cramps in traditional medical literature, they are split up into two different types. So you have primary and secondary dysmenorrhea. Dysmenorrhea is the formal medical term for cramps, and this literally means difficult menstruation. So primary dysmenorrhea is a slight pain in your lower abdomen at the beginning of your period. It can start a day or two before your period and typically last the first couple days of your bleed. So a little bit before your period, and also can last into those first couple days of your bleed. Secondary dysmenorrhea, on the other hand, can be a sign of an underlying medical condition like endometriosis, adenomyosis, fibroids, pelvic inflammatory disease, ovarian cysts, IBS, or miscarriage. So with secondary dysmenorrhea, you might start having painful periods several years after you've had your first period. You may also experience pain at other times during your cycle, like typically in the middle of your cycle, or pain with sex, pain with bowel movements, or peeing, or ongoing back and pelvic pain. So it's not just the pain in your ovaries, it's really pain everywhere, all over, and it can really be messing with the quality of your life. So I'll break these down, because if you are listening, you're like, yes, I have painful periods, then it's important to know the root cause and why you're getting these painful periods. What exactly is it? So we'll do a little bit of a dive into some of these reasons. So first would be endometriosis. It is the most common cause of that secondary dysmenorrhea, meaning cramps. So if you're taking painkillers and or birth control and they are not working, then this is a big sign that it could be endometriosis and you should get further testing. Endo is a condition where the tissue, similar to the lining of your uterus, grows outside of the uterus, and it can grow anywhere in your body. Most commonly, it is around the abdomen, and in a lot of my clients, it also connects to their bowels, which cause a lot of constipation, painful bowel movements, a sharp pain. So That is the most common, but it can really grow anywhere in the body. It can grow all the way up to your brain and all the way throughout your body. Around your heart can be very dangerous, lungs as well. But like I mentioned, typically it is in the abdomen. We don't fully know why endo happens. There definitely needs to be more research, but so far, causes include immune system issues. Some people would classify endo as an autoimmune condition. Pelvic inflammation. So typically with endo, you'll hear people call that extreme bloating endo belly. Not making the correct amount of hormones, aka hormone imbalance or gut health, and genetics. So any one of those or all can play a role in endo, and it affects about 1 in 10 women, the same as PCOS. In both cases, I personally do believe it's more than 1 in 10. I feel like a lot of women either are scared to go to their doctors with their symptoms because they've been told before that it's all in your head, or they go with their symptoms and the doctor's like, oh, just go on birth control, it's no big deal. So I feel like it is underdiagnosed. And plus, with endometriosis, it takes on average 12 to 15 years to get a proper diagnosis, which is an extremely long time. I know for me to get my endo diagnosis, it took 14 years. It obviously is a huge problem because then that delays treatment. And when we're delaying treatment and we're having these painful periods every single month, it can significantly reduce your quality of life. If you're canceling plans, if your period is keeping you inside crying all the time, it's not great. Symptoms of endo are intense cramps, not just on your period, but also mid-cycle around ovulation. The pain can be either severe or mild, like I mentioned, all on that sliding scale. Other symptoms, low back pain, hip pain, pain shooting all the way down your thighs, painful sex, pain with peeing or bowel movements, nausea, vomiting, heavy, long periods with lots of clotting, low libido, and also infertility or a struggle getting pregnant. I recently had a client who came to see me who just got diagnosed with endometriosis, and she suspected she had it all along based on her symptoms. But her doctor said, we can't officially diagnose you with endometriosis until you struggle with getting pregnant. And so she just went on her way. And then when she decided she wanted to get pregnant, she was having problems getting pregnant. And so she goes to the doctor and she says, I'm having trouble getting pregnant. And then they officially diagnosed her with endometriosis and said, oh, I wish you would have come in earlier. So then you wouldn't have had this struggle with getting pregnant. And she said, well, no one would diagnose me with endometriosis until I had troubles getting pregnant. So it was kind of this snake eating its own tail situation where they said, we can't officially diagnose you until you can't get pregnant. But then when she had troubles getting pregnant, they said, oh, I wish you had come in earlier. And she understandably was so frustrated with that. So those are the signs of endometriosis. And then we have adenomyosis, which is similar to endo, but it is different. So instead of the tissue growing outside of the uterus like endometriosis, the endometrial tissue grows into your uterine wall. So those are the differences. The tissue grows outside with endo, the tissue grows inside with adenomyosis. Adenomyosis is most common in women who are 40 plus and have had procedures on their uterus. We don't fully know what causes adeno, similar like endo. There right now isn't a lot of research on the causes, but researchers suggest that it's related to hormones and hormone imbalances, genetics, inflammation, and trauma. And all the symptoms are similar to endo. So intense cramps, low back pain, painful sex, pain with peeing, bowel movements, nausea, vomiting, heavy periods, low libido. And then we have fibroids. Fibroids are non-cancerous tumors that develop in or on the uterus. They are very, very common. About 70 to 80% of women will develop them in their lifetime during reproductive years, but not everyone will develop symptoms or require treatment. They can be teeny, 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 tiny, too small for even the naked eye to be able to see, or they can grow as big as a grapefruit, which is quite large. It can cause quite a lot of pain and distension in the lower abdomen. fibroids can cause heavier bleeding, which can cause anemia, which is low iron. And if you have anemia or low iron, you are more likely to have heavy bleeding. So that is one of the biggest concerns I would have with fibroids, is that when you're bleeding and you're having low iron show up on your blood work, and then that low iron is also causing heavier bleeding. Again, it's just that snake eating its own tail. You're just going in round and round in circles. So if you know you have fibroids, I would suggest getting some blood work done to see where your iron levels are at, just to make sure that you are getting enough iron if one of your symptoms is a heavy period. Symptoms of fibroids can be no symptoms at all, which is wonderful. If they are teeny tiny, you might have them, they'll just go away on their own. Or if it does tend to grow a little bit larger, it can cause heavy bleeding, painful periods, cramps, abdominal pain, clots in your period blood that are larger than a dime, longer periods or periods happening closer together, so more frequent periods, peeing very often, growing stomach area. So like I said, the fibroid, if it grows to be the size of a grapefruit, then you'll have severe distension where it almost looks like a pregnant belly, constipation, pain in the stomach area or lower back, and pain during sex, miscarriage, and infertility. So similar symptoms again to endometriosis. It's important for all of these to get testing done if you do have any of the symptoms. Causes of fibroids: inflammation, excess estrogen and progesterone, so some hormone imbalances. Studies show that fibroids tend to grow when hormone levels are higher, like during pregnancy, and then shrink when hormone levels are low, like during that transition into menopause. So if you're getting excess estrogen, if you have estrogen dominance, which one of my favorite tests to run is the Dutch test to check up on your hormone levels. It does cover estrogen and progesterone, just to see what's going on with your hormones. Other causes of vitamin D deficiency: high insulin levels and xenoestrogens. Xenoestrogens are basically toxins in our environment that act like estrogens in the body. So this includes things like perfumes, chemicals, cleaning products. And then we have pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID for short, which is inflammation in one or more of the organs in a woman's pelvic area, like the cervix, the lining of the uterus, which is the endometrium, the fallopian tubes, or the ovaries. Symptoms are lower abdomen and back pain, irregular periods, painful periods, abnormal vaginal discharge, pain during sex or peeing, fever, chills, nausea, and vomiting. Causes of PID, or pelvic inflammatory disease, are sexually transmitted infections like gonorrhea and chlamydia. You don't want to leave it untreated, because PID can lead to scarring of the fallopian tubes, which can then cause infertility. Other causes can be from a burst appendix or a surgical procedure like an insertion of an IUD or abortion. And the best thing you can do to prevent PID is actually to wear condoms during sex. And then next we have ovarian cysts. Ovarian cysts are fluid-filled sacs that can be found in one or both ovaries and are a common byproduct of ovulation or an unsuccessful attempt at ovulation. Ovulation is wonderful. It is one of our four phases, and during ovulation, this is our window to get pregnant, or the window you want to pay attention to if you're trying not to get pregnant. There are tons of different types of cysts, and I've actually done a full episode on a deep dive of cysts, all the different types, the treatments, the natural treatments, everything you can do. So I won't go that deep into it, but they are pretty common, same with fibroids, and typically go away on their own within a few months. But when they grow bigger, like the size of a grapefruit, similar to a fibroid, they can cause a lot of symptoms when they twist or when they rupture, and they can cause horrible, horrible period pain. So the main difference between the fibroid and the ovarian cysts are that fibroids are a hard mass, and cysts, the most common type, is typically a fluid-filled mass. There's all sorts of different types. Again, if you want to learn more, there is a full dedicated episode to that. Symptoms are pelvic pain, and usually if you have cysts on a particular side, you'll be able to feel pain on that side, so whether it's on the right side or the left side of your lower abdomen. Painful periods, of course. back pain, bloating, or heavy lower abdomen. Same with fibroids. It can cause that distension when it grows really large to be the size of a grapefruit, and pain during sex and peeing as well. Causes would be ovulation, hormone imbalances, stress, endometriosis, and also pelvic inflammatory disease. So endo and PID can cause ovarian cysts. So as a little recap, painful periods are not normal. There are two different categories for painful periods, primary and secondary dysmenorrhea. Primary is typically from your first few periods, whereas secondary is usually from conditions like endo, adenomyosis, fibroids, pelvic inflammatory disease, ovarian cysts, IBS, and/or miscarriages. If you're struggling with painful periods, this does not have to be the case. Your period should come with little to no pain. They should be easy. They should come on time every month. They should not be heavy. There should be no big clots. The length should be 3 to 5 or 3 to 7 days max. It should be maple syrup consistency and cranberry in color. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. Feel free to share it with a friend who needs to hear this message. You can also rate or review the podcast. And for more health, wellness, and lifestyle tips, you can always come say hi to me on Instagram. I'm at nutritionmoderation or online at nutritionmoderation.com. I have also had a ton of people reach out asking if I'm taking on clients. So I currently am, and I currently work with clients all around the world. So I'll always have the links down below in the show notes. If you want to check out my services and work with me or book a free call, that will always be there. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing day wherever you are, and I will chat with you very soon.